It's the My Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live.
Hey, thanks for joining in. This is the pinnacle of the week. Of all of the podcasts we do during the week, this pretty much sums it all up. It's what we call a week in review, where we look at some of the big news stories this week and the things that are underreported or ridiculously reported, or just reported and they're ridiculous. Whatever it may be, we take it on and we try to look for a deeper story, a message of hope, something that even in the midst of the crazy, we can get excited about and say, you know what? It's not so bad. So, and it's not so bad when you have a co-host like Adam Rizzieri. He and I get together, talk about the news of the week, and we call it the Riz Report.
Let's review the week. The Riz Report with Adam Rizzieri.
Hey,
Adam Rizzieri.
Yeah.
You do it.
I hope everybody's had a super, super spooky week, you know, just doing okay over here, just having a good time, you know. Getting ready for the Halloween weekend. Michelle, I'm stoked about this Halloween. Finally, you know, we can get out. We can, like, actually see people, pass out candy.
Right?
You know, live life, right?
You guys go all out, too, but you're probably in a neighborhood where you can, where, you know, Seattle is a little more PC, and so you don't know if you're allowed to or not. We'll talk about that in a moment, but as we get into Halloween here, what are you doing to celebrate?
Well, you know, my wife has been known on occasion, at least once a year, as kind of the queen of darkness or the princess of darkness, depending on, you know, which decade we're talking about here. And she goes all out for Halloween. And frankly, I mean, for me, she's made Halloween just a lot more fun than it used to be. We totally decked out our house. I bought like 30 pounds of dry ice last weekend because I had like a week early celebration.
Had
my siblings over, my brother-in-law came over, and I was able to handle the dry ice safely. And I made a witch's brew. It was like, it looked lime green, you know, and it looked like it was smoking, but it was just the dry ice evaporating, and it actually tasted pretty good. It was like this strong pineapple juice mixture with like a dark rum, and oh, it was great.
Got to do it.
We had like, we were doing it real big, and we had like kind of a family pumpkin carving contest going on. So this was all just a week before the actual Halloween, you know. And so this weekend I'm going to have the parentals over, the mom and stepdad coming over on Saturday, my dad coming over on Sunday. And we wanted to this year and last year also to be that house that had like the full size candy bars, you know. So we set a budget, we went to Costco, and we did it real big.
I'm going to go see the Kraken. I'm going to go see the Kraken, yes. And we're going to go dressed. I'm going to be a mermaid, and then my cohort is going to be a fisherman, and we're going to...
I love that. That's awesome.
Yep. We're going to go watch the Kraken play. So that's going to be something. And I understand that your wife is a Halloween fan. So she's dragging you to go see the Halloween movie.
Oh, I know. I can't say that I'm going reluctantly because I, you know, just the throwback to the original Halloween, you know, the Jamie Lee Curtis Halloween, like we were watching that a little bit. And, you know, I'll be honest, it's going to be kind of a nice change from what's been running on the TV for the last month, which is Hocus Pocus. You know, that's been just going constantly. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of Bette Midler going through my mind the past few weeks, a lot of book and children, a lot of that kind of stuff. but this weekend we'll see, I guess the third Halloween movie. They're going to bring Kyle Richards back into it. She was the kid in the original Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis. Of course, now she's a grown woman, right? She's one of the housewives of Beverly Hills. And I know she's done some other things in Hollywood too, but I haven't really followed that kind of stuff, you know. But when I was looking into this latest Halloween movie, it was kind of funny to see that it's already being trolled by the mob. They're calling Michael Myers, you know, this guy who basically, like, he's hard to kill, but then he kills everything with a pulse. But some of the early viewers are saying that Michael Myers is basically this homophobic killer, because I guess there's a scene in the film where he kills this gay couple. And so they're saying, oh my gosh, he must be homophobic. He killed this gay couple. But then the horror fans on the other side of the fence are saying, well, no, actually, maybe this is a sign of equality. Like, you know, the fact that he killed the gay couple is like a good thing because it's inclusive.
Yeah, but
to
you have to understand,
right?
In Hollywood, it's not okay to kill off a favored class. If you have a woman who can't make it through a gauntlet, and when she has gone through difficulty, her attire is just ripped in just the right way, and there's just a little bit of smudging of dirt on her, and she hasn't even broken a nail, but she always makes it. The least likely, you know, the person who, like, I can't even make it through traffic without, oh my gosh. But
I'm just like,
if you have a black character, you know they're going to make it. If you have a kid, they're going to make it. So I think this is running in congruence with Hollywood. What? So, you're killing a gay couple, but hey, you want equality, or what?
The only protected class in movies should be the cute dog. You know, like, don't kill the dog. Like, let the dog live. You could kill everybody else. You know, just make it nasty, whatever.
Don't you think that this is maybe a little slice into what we're really looking at when you're looking at the alphabet agenda? It's not about equality. It's about, I want special rights. I don't want my type of characters being killed off in a movie, or I'm going to complain and complain loudly because I'm used to being a whiny brat and getting what I want. I'm sorry. I know that's going to be offensive, and but it's not hate. It's not hate
that's
because
right.
I expect you to act like me, and I expect you to hold me to a level of decency. I don't want special rights. I don't want anyone in the alphabet community to be treated horribly or to be ousted or beaten. And I think in some instances, we overlook so much that there are mental health issues and body dysphoria that we completely miss, and they don't go away if you cut things off or add things on. And that should be real love as well. It's like everything else, an open conversation should be taken, but it's part of the bigger narrative. Adam, Halloween, maybe it's run its course and it's time to cancel it.
That's really what it looks like. I mean, this call to cancel Halloween. And by the way, this is a thing that's kind of, I guess, hitting our school boards across the country. But you're finding that it's not parents who are saying, hey, let's cancel Halloween because we think it's a problem for our kids. You're getting like these racial equity teams and like these ridiculous school board administrators who are saying, oh, well, you know what? I think Halloween maybe alienates the minority communities in our community, in our school system. Maybe we should just like protect them from Halloween and just not do it. I mean, it's really ridiculous to see what's going on here, but it's like we're seeing quite literally, I think, like the school board in East Lansing, Michigan. Well, Michelle, you're in Seattle, right? Like the Seattle public school system is trying to cancel Halloween. Like, what the heck's going on?
Can I put this in perspective? For many years, there's been people in the religious community who have been uncomfortable with Halloween, the glorification of the demonic or the negative spiritual connotations. And there are a lot of families who will just take it back. A lot of people have dealt with it is having harvest parties at their church or at
like
an organization.
Like a fall festival, right?
Like a fall festival, because they don't want their kids to miss out. It's part of the culture. Other people are like you. They will get big candy bars and then they'll put an invitation to come to children's church on it. You know, a lot of those get thrown on your lawn as they exit, but at least it sends a message. Please, if you're going to send out tracts or stuff like that, could you attach it to something worthwhile? Because if that's all they're going to get, you're going to get egged and you should probably.
I remember when I was a kid or when I was younger, right? And I lived close to, at the time, Michael Irvin's agent. And we knew that when you went to the home of Michael Irvin's agent, you were going to get full-size candy bars. And so it was just like, okay, kids, get to that house early, right? And so whether I was dressed as like, you know, Emmett Smith, or if that one year where I was actually dressed like the ugliest Cowboys cheerleader you've ever seen ever, you know, I was going to that house first.
That's
right. That's what my wife's trying to create here over at our house, is just like that house that is the most
everyone wants to go to. Okay. Yeah, Monster Mash in the background.
I love it.
Here's something.
This was actually one of the songs that I used to like really bust out my dance moves to the
Why not?
The Monster Mash.
If you were in school in the last 15 years or so, 20 years, where the religious community have said, you know, there's Halloween celebrations at school, people have taken a two-prong approach. One group will say, you know what, it's part of the society. It's, you know, we're not going to let our kids dress up as ghouls, but we want kids to celebrate and we will take back the holiday with something positive, as I mentioned, harvest parties and fall festivals. The other side have been more separatists. They said, and what the school had done in the past is said, okay, well, we'll give you a separate room. You can do something else. They can either study, or if you want to do a fall party, you can do that. That's making accommodations. What many people are saying with this whole canceling of Halloween, because, well, it's despairing to kids who can't dress up. They're saying, well, you know, no holiday is fair to anyone. And if you care, why not make it so you can make costumes at school? Or have in conjunction with a organization that does secondhand clothing and such, bring things and you can make it special. That way the kids can get something at school, get a costume and take it home, and then they can participate.
Well, Michelle, back during so this is back when Hillary was running against Trump in the election. You know, my wife and I, we literally went to the Salvation Army and we bought costumes there from the Salvation Army. We bought basically just a collection of stuff that was being sold on the racks there. You know, I don't think we spent more than maybe $12 or $13. And my costume for that year was, I was media bias guy. And I literally used cardboard to cut out like this fake CNN like news screen. And my wife was like the fake CNN anchor. And I was literally media bias guy for Halloween. And she That's was, great. You know, the CNN anchor, right? Like, you don't have to spend a ton of money.
Okay,
on
best costume
right?
ever. If you've ever been to Seattle, and you know I live in the Seattle area, have you ever seen the gum wall? Or heard of the gum wall. We're no, kind of no. gross here. Yeah, we in the Pike Place Market, there is
I've heard of that. Yes, a gum
wall. And you go and you take your glob of gum and you put it there. Some people have made art with gum. It's unsanitary. It's disgusting. They cleaned it off one year and within a couple of weeks, it was filled again. Guy came to a party. He had a piece of cardboard. He used a Sharpie and made squares, rectangles on it like bricks, and then put some used gum on. Then he just handed out gum at the party and he just said, I'm the brick wall. Are you kidding me? It cost him, other than the gum, it really cost him nothing.
That's perfect.
That's where you allow kids to be creative. If you're talking about canceling Halloween because it's despairing, you're not really helping. You're just telling kids that they can't rise to the occasion. Give them something. Totally. Give them construction paper and string. Bring in interesting things that all schools used to have for art. Have someone donate used clothing and make it part of a creative venture. Because then, as I said, kids can take it home. Because if they don't have a costume for school, they don't have a costume for trick-or-treating. Yeah. So you're not really helping.
You can make your costume a really smart thing, right? Like anybody that watched the Republican National Convention the year that I was media bias guy knows that there was a guy behind Wolf Blitzer who literally had his own sign that said, don't trust the liberal media. Like that's the guy that I was. You know, it's really fun when you can be witty and you can use, you know, either your sense of what's going on in current events or, you know, when you can like create something that maybe speaks to something you learned in science or something that you're learning in a cultural class or even a religious studies class, something that's cool and relevant. I mean, there's ways to do that, but these school districts are canceling Halloween 2 weeks in advance. It's basically a virtue signal because most kids have their costumes 2 weeks in advance in a lot of cases, right? They think about it for a while. They plan for that. And then, you know, mom knows too, right? Like, oh man, the racks are going to be empty with most of the selections by that 2 week period leading up to Halloween. So it's like, if you're shopping the weekend of or the weekend of before, like most high school kids, you know, you're already too late in a lot of situations. So to see, but now to see the school districts go this step farther, Michelle, where it's like, they're saying, okay, well, even if you have the jack-o'-lanterns and even if you have the stuff in your classroom as, you know, the teachers, right, who are celebrating Halloween, you have to take that out of your classroom now. You have to actually remove the stuff that you've already gathered. Maybe you've had it for years and you're using that to kind of be festive, right? You have to take that stuff down. You, even if you have the Monster Mash on repeat in the classroom, the school districts are saying, the principals are saying, hey, listen, you got to stop playing that or you're going to be fired. Like, it's ridiculous at this point. And, you know, this is the thing, too. Like, there was this poll that was run by a news station in Boston, and it was asking the public, should schools stop celebrating Halloween? 90% of the people that responded to this poll said, no, you shouldn't stop celebrating Halloween. And really, too, if you're going to try and be educational and you're going to try and expose your kids to new thought, man, like, use it as an opportunity to educate them on really, like, where Halloween specifically comes from. But it's not just about Halloween, too. It's about Valentine's Day, and it's about other celebrations that are to follow. The woke club is trying to now cancel Valentine's Day because, you know, some kids maybe are getting their feelings hurt or they're just uncomfortable with concepts of love and relationships. But where does it stop? Are we going to cancel Christmas next? Are we going to cancel New Year's next? Are we going to cancel?
We kind of already have. It's now winter holiday or winter solstice. Look, people are always going to be offended by something. And this is where you teach tolerance. This is the ability to be tolerant. Is your kid left out? Sometimes they're going to be left out. Sometimes they're not going to be picked for, they're going to be picked last. These are things that you have to deal with in the real world, and school should be a training ground for that. We've gotten to the ridiculous. No wonder so many people are homeschooling. And for those of you considering homeschooling, someone like me homeschooled. So if someone like me can homeschool, sweetheart, you can do it too. It Definitely. Is one of the best decisions ever because you don't miss out on those times with your kids. Is it hard? Yeah, but guess what? There are so many resources. The resources out there online, through Christian education, through online learning, through homeschool associations, through homeschool groups where you can gather and parents, or they'll hire teachers to come in for a 1 day a week schooling. I did that. It was fabulous. We had a Disney animator that taught art. We had a college level science professor teaching science. We had the talented people that were teaching things. If you do a little research, I'm telling you, it's totally worth it.
Well, it sounds like it. I mean, think about this, right? You have these racial equity inclusion teams that are embedded in school districts that are trying to make people focus on canceling a holiday like Halloween and Valentine's Day, instead of having them focus on things like improving the average test scores for Black kids or ensuring that the minority students are given the highest levels of education, the greatest access to the greatest resources that are available. They're not getting that. They're being told to look at freaking holidays, right? They're not being told to, they're about, or kind of elevated in how they can expose kids to new thought and to better thought. It almost seems like homeschooling is the best option that really exists, right? Because you're actually going to be exposed to expertise and you're going to be exposed to different ideas. You're going to be given, man, Michelle, a Disney animator teaching creative classes. Are you kidding me? That's awesome. Now, I will say,
time where we don't have art in school. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I feel fortunate that when I was in school, I did have art instruction that I thought was of value, and it did spark a lot of great things, you know, within me, just from an art education perspective. But I know things changed dramatically, and you know, at one point, my aunt was teaching in the same school district that I came from. You know, I went to both public schools and private schools as a kid. I was lucky for that kind of diversified experience, but. To kind of learn from her, my aunt, what her experience was as an educator and ultimately as a school administrator. She's since retired from her role in the school system and jumped into the private sector of business to, you know, make money. And also, too, just because she felt like her voice wasn't heard anymore in the public schools. She was being forced to teach curriculum that was, frankly, ridiculous, you know, and the kind of stuff that we're talking about today. These are real concerns. And you know, this is stuff that, as taxpayers, our money funds, you know, we're funding this sort of education. And, you know, it seems like parents today just don't have the say over the type of education they want their kids exposed to. Here we have administrators taking it upon themselves to, you know, I guess just stop kids from being able to learn about the interesting, unique holidays that exist, right? Like, why can't we use that as a teaching moment? You know, we could do that with every holiday, right? We could talk about Diwali, which I think is a really cool holiday, the Festival of Light celebrated by the Indian community. There's a really strong Asian community where I live today, and Diwali is a huge part of where I live, just by virtue of the population that's here. But there's a lot of really cool teaching moments that you can create. Exactly.
You learn about people by the holidays they celebrate, the foods that they eat. That's how you create tolerance. That's how you create inclusion. That's how you create an understanding that even through our holidays, we're not all that different. When parents, though, challenge what happens in the school district, and we're hearing this on a regular basis, people standing up in PTA meetings and in front of school board meetings, challenging everything from mask mandates to critical race theory, in particular, some of the sexual education, which has included many things that are very, very graphic and not age appropriate. Now, parents are being called domestic terrorists.
Oh my gosh, I know. And man, how dare they stand up and say, you know what, that's not right. How dare they stand up and say, you know what, school board, my daughter was raped in a bathroom by a young boy wearing a skirt. It's insane to think that the Attorney General of the United States has weaponized the FBI to now look into parents who stand up with their voice within their rights, by the way, and say, hey, listen, that's not right. And we should address that directly and change how things are done. That's the American way. So to now say that they're domestic terrorists.
Well, let me put this in perspective. It was the National School Board Association. Now, a lot, if you Google parents called domestic terrorists, you'll see a lot of articles saying, well, let's fact check that. That's not really what happened, but if that's not really what happened, then why, let's put this up on the screen. Did the NSBA apologize for a letter calling parents domestic terrorists? The National School Board reads, the National School Board Association apologized for its letter to President Joe calling for help from federal law enforcement to assist with threats and violence from parents and protesters. The group said there was no justification for the language used. No, there wasn't, but yet it was used. Why wow. What are you calling for the National Guard to come in? Because come on.
There's a real strong movement right now, Michelle, that I think a lot of the far left is trying to sort of make us ignore, really, and just kind of make us kind of roll over on our bellies and just take it. And it's this attack on our cultural and religious norms, the things that I think make our country so special, attacking our holidays, attacking our ability to have a say over what our kids are taught in schools. Attacking our ability to ensure that our elections are held with integrity and that they are free and fair, attacking our ability to have free speech and ensuring that we're not able to use the platforms that we have today. The social media is one of our biggest platforms for communication from one to one, but then also from one to the masses. And to see how these institutions are being controlled, and then also kind of recognizing that the far left is saying, nothing to see here. Don't look at how things are being done. Seriously, nothing's going on, guys. It's fine. This is a crazy, crazy thing that's taking place. And it's really this attack that I think we have to kind of point to as perhaps our own sort of cultural revolution. I think this strong effort to diminish the freedoms and liberties that we have as Americans. If you look at kind of what's taking place over in Australia, you know, that's a society that used to be kind of, I guess, pointed to as a free place to live, right? A society with opportunity. But man, I mean, people can't even talk to their neighbors now, you know, because of they're basically, I think, weaponizing COVID to strip people from their abilities to connect and communicate.
In the best scenario, if you really think about it, it is control. And it is dangerous. It can also be an outpouring of fear, people walking in fear. And you don't know, are they making decisions because of fear, or are they using people's fear to make decisions? Either way, it's very, very dangerous. As long as we're there, I did want to share with you a story. We'll see if I can find it here. It should be on your screen right now. Vaccinated people are just as likely to spread the Delta variant within a household as an unvaccinated person, according to this study. People who receive the vaccinations are able to spread the Delta variant within their households despite their vaccination status just as easily as unvaccinated individuals. This study was published on Friday, and according to the study in the Lancet Infectious Disease Journal, people who contracted COVID-19 had a similar viral load regardless of whether they've been vaccinated or not. But
you can't say that on Facebook, and you can't say that on Twitter, and you can't say that on YouTube without being canceled.
This is vitally important. It's vitally important because people are getting vaccinated, wanting to do the right thing, and then they're finding out that they killed grandma because they thought their vaccinations were real vaccinations. Because we're not talking about it, people who are getting vaccinated are suffering from problems, myocarditis and other issues. They and the hospitals are filled with them, and we're not giving them that information to empower them to protect themselves. What can you do to protect yourself if right. you have been vaccinated? We are setting ourselves up, and this, I swear to you, I find it criminal.
Well, and now we're mandating that elementary age kids get the double jab, right? Like, we don't know what might that effect be when that kid is 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. We don't know. Like, we don't know.
You're
but
right.
we're going to sit here and
because we're experimenting on ourselves.
Go and get
that's the only
job.
Way we'll know. We'll know because we're going to vaccinate your children. Then we're going to find out if they die in 10 years. Well, then
they
we'll
know.
and then, you know, thank you for being part of the unpaid. Go ahead and put your life on the line. Look, hon, if there is something that they want to put into your body that has death as a possible outcome, you should have complete control of whether you want to take that or not.
Oh, yeah.
End of story.
What is it, like 6,000 kids, I think? Oh, absolutely, end of story. I think it's like something like well over 6,000 kids so far in LA that have not been exposed to the vaccine. These are kids now that the school district is going to force out of class coursework, right? Like, no class for you. Sorry. I mean, it's crazy to think about what's really taking place here. You want to talk about diversity and inclusion. Well, let's exclude these kids from just the coursework that's available to them. Nah, you guys don't need this. You haven't been vaccinated yet, even though you're perfectly healthy. And even though this person over here who's vaccinated is just as likely to spread the Delta variant as you are. It's just a joke, right?
It does not make sense. And then to say, okay, you're vaccinated. You can't come into the stadium unless you're vaccinated, but you still have to wear your mask because your vaccination doesn't work. Then why are you excluding the unvaccinated? Why are you keeping them from the marketplace? Why are you kicking them out? This does not make sense. And so we always get to this because it's the issue of our age. Go ahead.
Well, when you see medical professionals sitting here, like, accepting these ridiculous truths about masking, you know, like, I wear my anti-Fauci mask when I'm forced to wear a mask, right? When I enter a facility and it's like masks required, you know, first of all, I respect that it's their choice to say, if I'm going to enter the threshold of this facility, you must wear a mask. I respect that. And I will wear my no Fauci mask, right? But it just defies logic when I see a trained medical professional who knows better, who knows that COVID is much smaller in terms of size, physical size, than what that mask is going to stop. I'm just like, you guys know this doesn't do anything. Why are we sitting here right. playing this mask game? Are we
now, I'm gonna,
just
I'm,
virtue signaling?
I'm gonna
are we
try
doing
to
it
be
because
balanced
somebody told
here.
Us just to do it?
I am going to try to be balanced here and say that there are studies that have shown that the mask has about an 11% efficacy. That's about as high as it goes, 11%. Now, that has to take into account you're wearing the right kind of mask. And
which I'm not.
You know, these things that you buy, these paper masks, don't really do it. Secondly, that you're wearing it properly. So, you know, we're always doing this and we're
no chin strapping
touching
it,
right? and that it's actually clean. So we don't just take a mask, wear it a little bit, don't touch it and throw it away. We, you know, hang it from the windshield,
the mirror in our car. Cup holder.
Under the best of circumstances, wear a mask, fine. You know, you have 11% efficacy. That might do something for you, but it's not enough to negate the fact that when you use a mask, you are not being exposed to a lot of other things. If you have a healthy immune system, my darlings, you need to expose yourself to things. You are bathing yourself in sanitizer, and that kills good bacteria as well as bad bacteria. Excuse me, this is making noise here. My bad.
But there's no consistency there, right? Like, maybe if there were some flu season, wear that mask. Oh, by the way, just wear the mask all the time, because there's always going to be something out there that's going to get you.
It is, you know, but you have to be exposed to some of those things, or else your immune system will be weakened. And when you are exposed, and you will be eventually, bad things will happen.
COVID-19 vaccinations are able to spread despite their vaccination status just as easily as unvaccinated individuals, a new study published on Friday shows. According to the study published in the Lancet Infectious Diseases Journal, people who contracted COVID-19 had a similar viral load regardless of if they have been vaccinated. The study for
So there you go. Yep. We can go into more of the study, but in the interest of time, I'm going to stop it there. That's where we're at. And it's very important to realize that we are canceling things that are very, very vital. And we're canceling things that, is Halloween vital? No, but it is part of our society. And then to just decide, we're not going to celebrate Christopher Columbus. We're going to, on the very same day, have Indigenous People Day. You know, have Indigenous People Day, but recognize that Christopher Columbus, along with any bad things that he might have brought over, which have been sufficiently challenged, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I think that there's room for that debate, but there's also great things that have happened as well. You need to recognize that. If you do not learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. But we are in a cancel freaking frenzy. And so we're canceling anything that we don't like, but we're keeping ridiculous things that we think are okay. And there is no consistency, because you got to check your worldview. And as we move into the holidays, you know, Christmas was starting to be canceled long ago, but it has an enduring quality, doesn't it?
It does have an enduring quality, because it's Christmas. Christmas is a beautiful time to bring people together. And I think one of the tragedies of COVID was the fact that families were living separately, and people couldn't, you know, I had to do a freaking drive-by. Shout out to my mom. My mom's birthday is in April, so it's obviously way before Christmas, but we had to do sort of this drive-by happy birthday sort of like thing. We drove by her house, like a motorcade of like four or five cars, saying, "Hey mom, happy birthday, we love you." And then shooting confetti, because we had to like stay socially distant from my mom on her birthday. And that was a terrible thing. So to have Christmas kind of hit us, it was a beautiful thing to come back together and just see the ones that you love. And I think togetherness and love is a part of Christmas. And, you know, this move to cancel Christmas is just, to quote the mom from The Waterboy, "That's the devil, Bobby Boucher, that's the devil." I mean, it is the devil to cancel Christmas. And it's like this attack on our cultural and religious, I think, celebrations that are part of the socialist takeover. You cannot have faith or Christianity if you're going to have socialism. They just are not consistent together. And I look back to this piece, this writing from June of 1924. And 1924, obviously, that was way back in time. But there's this, it's just the truth of what socialism and communism is. And this quote from the Marxist founders themselves, it says, "No one can be consistently both a Christian and a communist. A true Christian believes in turning the other cheek, resisting not oppression, returning good for evil. It would be madness for a communist to adopt such an attitude towards the oppression of the capitalist class. He who believes in another world is not capable of concentrating all of his passion on the transformation of this one." And that's literally on Marxists.org, their website. And it's a throwback to 1924. But the thing is you cannot look to a higher power, to God, and also be a true socialist. It just, there's an inconsistency there.
Well, they say it themselves. And in that, they are right to a degree, except for the fact that if there is a God, then he has a purpose and a plan and an instruction manual. If we ignore that instruction manual with the wrong worldview, we have the wrong results. We have chaos. If we follow those instructions, yes, then we tend to have not only harmony, but equality for people who are even outside of that belief system. Do you have equality for people who are outside of that Marxist belief system? No. Under Marxism, you absolutely do not. And you have chaos. Follow your world view. If there is an otherworldly hope, then I have a love for that greater than the love for myself. If all I have is today, then I am a selfish beast. So if you are in a burning fire, I might just look and go, oh, well, gosh, that's really too bad. But because I love my God more than I love my own self, I mean, I have a hope beyond today. And I have a trust in him that if I do the right thing, he's either going to protect me or he's going to bring me home. I'm going to rush. Right. I will be more likely statistically to rush to that fire. I can believe in something greater than myself. No, there's an existentialism that doesn't exist when you have a God story. Boom.
That's right.
Standing down boom from the pulpit. Go ahead.
That's it. You know, but also just looking at COVID, right? And Christmas and togetherness and going to church. Man, I mean, how many churches just were empty, right? Because you were told not to go, or you were told to just, you know, we'll just, you know, practice in your own way, just pray at home or whatever that might look like. And I know there was a big rise in obviously online worship and things of that nature, and that's fantastic. But when you think about like, well, where did this all come from? This grasp for control over our society, this grasp for control over our private lives, where is all this coming from? This push of critical race theory, this push of really, I think this push that defies logic, this push of information that isn't really factual, specific to COVID and specific to the election itself. It's all about control. And, you know, I think back to history because we have to be students of history to kind of see things before they come. And thank God for the fact that we do have an ability to record history. But when you look back in time and you look at sources like the History Channel, for example, is a good source of information. There's stuff up there, but there's a lot out there beyond that, too. But think about just in Russia, right? When the Russian Revolution happened and socialism was pushed on that entire country, within a 10-year period, this is a country that went from 46,000 churches to 200 churches. And the only reason those 200 churches stuck around is because World War II started. You know, and so when you think about this overall push to make people stop worshiping God, but to then start worshiping a political tyrant, like a totalitarian leader like Joseph Stalin, I mean, that's what this is all about, right? So the communist doctrine, the socialist theory in general, it recognizes the fact that you cannot have faith in a higher power because the higher power to them is their leader on the ground.
Yeah.
But that's just,
they don't
want
to have to bow their knee, but I have news for you. Eventually every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That's just the way it is. And I also want this conversation to come with a warning. History tells us that no, you can't cancel things like Christmas and you can't cancel faith. Religion may come and go to a degree. Religion is a man's way of reaching out to God, but true faith and true, I would even say true Christianity is an ideology. It's not a religion. It's an ideology where God reaches down to you and provides a way to have a relationship with him. So let me just give you a quick a rundown of what's happened historically when you try to shut that down. I don't care if you rip people apart, you feed them to the lions, you try to destroy and do ethnic or religious cleansing. It doesn't matter what China. You do. Thank you, China. The higher you turn up the heat, the hotter the faith grows. Because if there is something to this God we're talking about, then you're not going to be able to cancel him altogether. Sorry.
Right.
So be careful. You know what the best thing to do is just let people of faith do their thing. You know, let them get complacent. Let them get spoiled. Then they tend to just look just like you, think just like you. But no, you do this stuff. And then they start waking up and going, wait a minute. So...
Yeah, it's like the was it the Mutombo commercial? No. Like, wait a minute.
Do you love that commercial?
I love it. It's great. No. Like, it's like, that's it, you know? And despite like that 10 years of total oppression and, you know, faith leaders being locked up, being tortured, being forced to renounce their faith publicly, still over half of the country before World War II believed in a higher power, despite all of the craziness being pushed on them by their political tyrants. You know, at one point, the socialists in Russia were trying to get rid of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because those are the days of worship for Muslims, Jews, and Christians. They were trying to make it just a continuous repeat of a 5-day work week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like, no Friday, Saturday. Well, I guess Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? I guess I'm not sure exactly what they had in mind there. I think it's ridiculous altogether. But that's just kind of the way that goes. China today, though, is still rampant and just rife with their persecution of anybody that has any sort of faith. When I was studying abroad in China, I learned that the only way to have upward mobility in that society, and it's kind of funny to think about the concept of upward mobility, given that it's a communist society, because I think the implication there is it shouldn't be upward at all. It should just be totally horizontal, right? There should be no upward. But in a nutshell, the only way to have any sort of mobility or any sort of economic hope is to be a member of the Chinese Communist Party. You must be a party member to have any position of power to do anything over there of substance. So the thing is, though, is to be a part of the Chinese Communist Party, you are not allowed to have any sort of actual religious adherence. For a long time, especially after the Cultural Revolution, having any sort of faith was illegal. First of all, you couldn't do it. These days, things are a little bit different. There are 5 recognized religions in China.
Graphic. A Protestant church, the Christian church, is booming in China, for example. I mean, it is booming. And I wanted to show this graphic because it's just gone... huge increase, and yet that's in direct relation to how much persecution has increased.
Oh, without question. Here's the crazy thing. Persecution has increased, and really mostly under President Xi, right? President Xi has been the guy who's been trying to sort of reaffirm China's position in the world and actually encroach on what I think we could say arguably is America's position in the world, which is that of the world leader. President Xi, though, is trying to kind of tighten the grip of China's power over its own people, but then also, you know, the rest of the world, too. So we're all familiar with the Ten Commandments. The Henan province in China literally forced churches to remove the first commandment from the Ten Commandments because, you know, I am the Lord thy God. Well, that means that you're placing your loyalty to God above the Chinese Communist Party. We can't have that. So they literally had church leaders remove the 1/10 of the Ten Commandments to allow them to continue to operate under the good graces of the government. Now, when you choose otherwise, if those guys chose to not remove the first commandment, which is just ridiculous, but if they chose to not remove that commandment, then they would be subject to beatings, to torture, and in some cases, being killed. And that happens. That's why you have literally 2 different types of Catholic churches in China right now.
And that's what tolerance looks like, people.
That's exactly what tolerance looks like. It's insane. There is a patriotic, basically like a national Catholic church. And this was something that came to light from the Chinese Vatican agreement in 2018. But then there's this underground Catholic church, which is the one that actually like maybe we'll call it the OGs, Michelle, like the OG Catholic Church. Like, they keep it real. They are actually practicing the more pure Catholic faith, right? And the patriotic Catholic Church in China, the Chinese Communist Party is a part of the Vatican decision-making process and choosing the bishops that lead the church over there. So, like, that's interesting. You have this atheist political party collaborating with the Vatican to choose the church leadership for the patriotic Catholic Church in China. Seems a little weird, right? It seems like that might be, there might be a little bit of a conflict of interest there.
Well,
right?
I'm wondering which church then, you know, if it's the faithful or the political that was involved in this meeting that Joe Biden had with the Pope. Did you hear about him meeting with the Pope? The Pope told him he's a good Catholic and should continue doing communion. They didn't talk about abortion. Apparently, it said
they talked about the climate. Come on, man.
Yeah, there you go. Biden said, we just talked about the fact that he was happy that I was a good Catholic and I should keep getting communion.
It's just ridiculous. They didn't talk about anything that's real, you know? Like, if, you know, okay, if the Biden thing, that freaking guy. I mean, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that, you know, in this socialist system, I mean, you have Tibetan Buddhists that are literally lighting themselves on fire in protest to try and fight for their rights. Michelle, there was that Boston Celtics player, a guy who came here from Turkey. His family is still living under a very oppressive political system. And he was trying to protest on behalf of those Tibetan Buddhists and trying to help Tibet obviously free itself from the grip of China. And the NBA, you know, time and time again, cow over to what China as their customer wants them to do and say. The Houston Rockets have been blackballed from China. The Boston Celtics have now been blackballed from Chinese programming. And I would like to see every local team take it upon themselves to do the right thing and say, hey, you know what? We're not going to do business with China anymore. I want to see Mark Cuban do that with the Mavericks here, because the things that are taking place in that country are just not okay. They're just not. You know, it's actual genocide taking place. It's actual child labor taking place. You want to talk about family separation? I mean, China is removing kids from the family unit to basically put them in like these training camps to elevate them to the next level of athletic greatness, you know.
But at least it's just insane. They probably aren't celebrating Halloween there, so they've got that. I wanted to give out our council club prizes this week. So Polly Tucker was on TikTok. She had a small account with small following. You know, she didn't have a lot of people. She mostly got on to watch videos on, I don't know, how to organize her kitchen, and then maybe some things that she wasn't getting on the news or you couldn't find other places, which TikTok, one of the things that I do like is when people find news stories, they will record them and then repost them. So it's not just me spouting off my opinions. You're actually watching what the news is saying. She did that on a lot of issues concerning ivermectin and alternative treatments, and her entire account was taken down. And she wasn't talking hate. She wasn't giving out wrong advice. She was playing news stories for mainstream media and got canceled. So Polly Tucker, you are part of the cancel club. I need to get our Polly cancel Tucker club recipients to send pictures so we can post their pictures and celebrate. But for those of you who have been canceled, thank you for being strong, for speaking up. For those of you who disagree, but listen anyway and support a person's right to free speech, you are a real hero. Yeah, the Michelle, people who are speaking are heroes, but you're a real hero for not name calling, for not canceling, shutting down, for continuing the conversation, Adam.
You're so right on. But, you know, we live in a meritocracy, right? Like, what do you think about this concept of sort of having like this three strike club? You know, we'll have like different ranks within our cancel club. And it's like, oh, man, you're a member of the three strike club. Like, you're a big deal. Like, you don't self-censor. You know, we'll have different levels of like status within the club. I don't know.
There you go.
Just thinking out loud.
Yeah. And if, for those of you who are in Facebook jail, you know, doing jail time, Jeez.
Oh my gosh, think of
that really as we close today, the danger of the criminalization of ideas, where PTA moms are domestic terrorists, where Halloween is racist, where we have to cancel people because a news story is reporting a legitimate story on how if you have the virus or if you have the vaccine, so-called vaccine, you are just as likely to spread and then you're canceled. That's where we're living right now. You should be very concerned. But the solution is believing in something deeper, is having a belief that you really do matter, that it's not just about today, that we have a hope beyond today, and that in doing the right thing, that you have more that are standing behind you than they have with them. We are the silent minority, silent no more, hence the canceling. And I think of the fact that if you're doing the right thing, then you've got the right thing behind you. Thank you for your bravery, all of you. And definitely, thank you, Adam, for doing this. Our show is growing leaps and bounds. And, you know, we're less than a year old doing just podcasting. We've been broadcasting on terrestrial radio for a long, long time, but made this move for freer speech, for freer access around the planet. And I really want to thank you for liking this, commenting, even your negative comments count as comments. So I appreciate it. Share this. Continue to get the word out. We appreciate you, Adam. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. And Polly Tucker, we appreciate you too. Thank you for not self-censoring. And keep on being you.
That's right. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.
That's a wrap.
Yeah. The studio audience was rowdy today, right?
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Crushing it, Michelle. Crushing it. That's awesome. That Polly Tucker keeping it real.
I know. My gosh. You know, that's really frustrating. But gosh, when you know you're not alone, I think that really helps.